In 1659, the General Court of the Massachusetts Bay Colony made it a criminal offense to publicly celebrate the holiday and declared that whoever shall be found observing any such day as Christmas or the like, either by forbearing of labor, feasting, or any other way, was subject to a 5-shilling fine. And back to my comment about Lonnie's Sunday school lesson. Shortly after King Charles I was beheaded, the Parliament in England actually did the same thing. Although they didn't insist on keeping that law nearly as long as the Massachusetts Bay Colony did. And if you're familiar with the Massachusetts Bay Colony, they were primarily Puritans. And you might wonder, well, what was their problem with celebrating Christmas, right? Well, the problem was the way people celebrated Christmas at that time would be something probably akin to what you might see in New Orleans during Mardi Gras. It was not necessarily a celebration of the birth of Christ, but it was a celebration of the loss of inhibitions and doing whatever they felt, drunkenness, gluttony, and sexual sin, and all kinds of things were going on. And so the reason the Puritans wanted to outlaw that kind of celebration was because, as we read in Titus 2 this morning, that's not what Christmas was about, right? And the reason I picked that passage is because I think that passage embodies what Christmas is and what the celebration of Christmas ought to be. If we, you know, fast forward to today, and we might say, well, you know, the celebration of Christmas today is different, right? I'm sure we all have our favorite Christmas movies, right? And what's yours, Kathy? Yeah. Okay. I watched for the first time this year, you might find this surprising, A Miracle on 34th Street, because I've never watched that. So I decided I'd watch that. Also watched It Was a Wonderful Life. I watched a version of The Christmas Carol. And the thing that struck me about all of those movies was they had nothing to do with Christmas. Absolutely nothing to do with the real Christmas. Now, granted, there was, a nice storyline, and it was heartwarming in, the way the stories end. But ultimately, there's no real mention of the birth of Christ in any of those movies. And so I guess what I might say today is, are we celebrating Christmas any better than they did in the 17th century? My challenge to you would be, is there a better way for us to celebrate Christmas? I remember as a child, and I don't know how old I really was, but I remember that when I came to the realization that Christmas was not about Santa Claus and about him bringing me presents, I remember thinking, well, so what's the point of Christmas? What a sad, sad commentary on my upbringing. Because as far as I can remember, from a small child, we went to church almost every Sunday. And yet for me, Christmas was about the presents that Santa Claus was going to bring. It wasn't until I was probably 15 or 16 years old when I actually gave my life to Christ, and Christmas took on a whole new meaning. And so this morning, as we look at this passage in Titus 2, there are two things in here that I think embody what our celebration of Christmas ought to look like. Okay? He's the Apostle Paul, and I marvel at his ability to pack so much into such a small package. You know, we have four verses here, and basically he explains the gospel very succinctly here. But he says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." That word salvation implies something. Why would we need to bring salvation? Well, because something needs to be saved. What needs to be saved? All people. What do they need to be saved from? If we read in verse 14, it says, He gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. We need salvation. We need to be saved from our sin. Isn't that what the angel told Joseph in the dream when he said his name shall be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins? That's what Jesus means, Savior. But then Paul goes on and he says that this grace instructs us, or instructing us, to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. When you think about the way people celebrated Christmas from probably the 3rd or 4th century on until, you know, into the 17th, 18th century, that's not at all what you would expect, right? A Mardi Gras celebration, and yet the grace of God appearing instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So the way we celebrate Christmas should be a reflection of that salvation in our lives. Now, I'm not advocating that we don't have Christmas trees, or that we don't put up lights, or that we don't have feasts, or that we don't have get-togethers and family time. But I'm advocating that we really work at thinking about what has happened because Jesus came. And it's not just about a baby that was laid in a manger. It's not about necessarily the shepherds that came. They were told about the miracle that had happened. It's not about the magi necessarily that came from the east to bring gifts and to worship. But ultimately, it's about the fact that God became man. You know, I understand. You know, what are the six words? Who, what, when, where, how, and why? Well, I understand the who, God. I understand the what, he became man. I understand the when. I mean, and it really doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, the reason December 25th was chosen to celebrate it was because of a syncretism with a celebration of the winter solstice. The celebration of Saturnalia. And it was believed that the 25th was the winter solstice, and that's why that day was picked. Should we change the day? No, I don't think we should change the day. I mean, we don't really know when. Was it in the spring? Was it in the fall? I'm not sure that really matters. We've picked a day, and that's a, you know, let's celebrate that. So the when is really not important. But the question of how, and Scott kind of talked about that last night, how does God become man? When you think about who God is, think about all of creation and the fact that there is a being who all he has to do is speak the word and it becomes. How do you fit that in a human body? I don't know how that works. To me, that is the celebration of Christmas, is that God figured out how he was going to become a man so that he could do what he needed to do. The last question is why? Why would God do this? That's just nuts. That he would find a way to embody human form so that he could live a perfect life, so that he could be that sacrifice that would pay the penalty for the sins of this lot. Why? Well, he gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Ultimately, it's about God. It's about what God wants for his name, for his glory, for his magnification throughout all of eternity. So what's the second thing, I think, that maybe we need to think about when we celebrate Christmas? And that's in verse 13. And we're going to sing one more song. And that song is a song that I tell everybody every year, that's not a Christmas song. Does anybody know what song that is? Joy to the World. But you know, it's a song that we should sing at Christmas. Because what that song talks about is no more will sin reign. No more will the curse be found. Someday, and that's our hope, someday because of Christmas, because of what began at Christmas, if you would, in the history of mankind, we know that God planned our salvation from the foundation of the world. He had always planned this. But as far as the history of mankind, the salvation that we enjoy today began with the birth of Jesus, holy God and holy man. And so, as we think about what Jesus would accomplish on the cross, and the fact that we would then have salvation from our sins for those of us who put our faith. And I noticed there was at least two songs that we sang this morning that very phrase is for those who trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Theirs is a hope of eternal life. And so as we celebrate Christmas today, I would ask you to celebrate in a couple of ways. One, celebrate realizing that we have been redeemed. We are now free. Free from sin. Not just the punishment of sin, but we've been empowered to live lives that are without sin. Not that we won't. Not that we won't fail. But we also know that forgiveness is always awaits us when we confess our sins. But also, let's celebrate today about with the hope of eternal life. the world really doesn't know how to celebrate Christmas. Because for the world, it's about them and it's about what takes place on this earth. You know, we hear the phrase, peace on earth. And for those of you who don't know the background of that song, it was written during the midst of the Civil War, and the author's son had been shot and wounded. And he was beside himself. I mean, peace on earth? There's no peace on earth. We're in the midst of a civil war. People are dying and being maimed. Our hope is not that there will be peace on this earth accomplished by people. Someday, Christ will return and he will set it all right. He will create a new heaven and a new earth, and the curse will be absolved. And so that's why we celebrate Christmas. Not because there's a cute little baby laying in a manger. Not because stinky shepherds came in out of the field to recognize it. Not because magi from the east came and unfortunately aroused King Herod in his rage. He slaughtered probably hundreds of children in the Bethlehem area. But Christmas is about the grace of God appearing and bringing salvation to all men, giving us victory over sin, and giving us the hope of eternal life with God forever. So, let's not celebrate as the world does, expecting that when the story says there's peace on earth, that there's really going to be a cessation of all hostilities. It's not going to happen. But we can have peace with God in this life, which enables us to have eternal life. And Scott and I are thrilled that we're having a white Christmas. Some of you may be rather annoyed by that. But, you know, just because it's a white Christmas and we enjoy it doesn't mean that's what we're celebrating. We're not celebrating the snow today. We're enjoying it because it makes us, for Scott and I at least, it makes us feel good. I went to college with a guy that grew up as a missionary in Brazil. And to him, if you didn't have sunshine and go to the beach and have, you know, 80 to 90 degree weather, then it wasn't Christmas. And so Christmas is, you know, not that we're, you can't necessarily make an atmosphere for Christmas, but you can have an attitude in your heart of what Christmas really is. And that's what, you know, we need to celebrate that. We need to show the world what it really means to celebrate Christmas. And maybe, just maybe one more thing that we should do, that we should work at doing in celebrating Christmas, is take the time and share with at least one person during the Christmas season what the true meaning of Christmas is. That the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for Christmas. We thank you that in your sovereign plan, in which you demonstrated immeasurable love, you somehow caused all of God to be embodied in humanity. so that you could exact the punishment of our sins upon that man. And so, Father, today, help us to celebrate that. And then to consider the fact that one day the King will reign visibly and knowingly to all nations. The curse will be over and we will live eternally in the presence of God, sinless, not struggling again with sin. Father, thank you. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your love.